So in today's gospel, we have this very touching and powerful story of the prodigal son. And it's helpful for us to understand what Jesus is doing here, to notice that there's two groups of people that are involved at the beginning of the story. So first of all, we're told in the gospel that tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to listen to Jesus. So the tax collectors and sinners. So these were people who were leading publicly sinful lives, people who everybody knew were making bad choices, doing bad things, and they were looked down upon for that. But this group of people began to be attracted to Jesus. They began to come to listen to him speak. And Jesus welcomed them into his company. He welcomed them and even ate with them. But the Pharisees and scribes were complaining about this. So because of the bad choices that they were making, the tax collectors and sinners were on the outside, but the Pharisees and scribes were definitely insiders. They were the people who outwardly were very religious. They did all the right things. They did everything that they were supposed to do. They practiced their faith perfectly. But yet Jesus is most critical of them in the Gospels. They're the group of people that Jesus, of Jesus is most critical. There's one part where he calls them whitewashed tombs, which to me is one of the most creative insults ever thought of. To be a whitewashed tomb means that outwardly they look good, but inwardly, Jesus said, they're full of rot and filth. So outwardly they did everything right, but inwardly they were not right. And what was it that the Pharisees and scribes lacked on the inside? They lacked love. They didn't love others. They were judgmental, comparing themselves to others, condescending, much more concerned about other people's sins than about their own. So we have two groups, tax collectors and sinners, and this group of the Pharisees and scribes. And then Jesus tells the story about two brothers. So that helps us to understand who the two brothers are and who they symbolize. So at the beginning of the story, we meet the younger of the two brothers. And the younger of the two brothers does something terribly wrong. He commits a very serious sin. He asks for his share of his inheritance. And so essentially what he's telling his father, that he's not willing to wait until his father dies to get his stuff. So, unbelievably, his father decides to give him what he's asking for and gives him half of his property. So, presumably, this meant for the father that he sold off property, sold off livestock and other assets, and then half of it he took and gave to this younger son because he demanded it of his father. Essentially, in doing so, his son is disowning him. And then he leaves, and we're told he goes to a distant country. And we're told that he spends everything, and then he finds himself in a very destitute situation. It's really fascinating the way the gospel writer puts this, or the way that Jesus puts it, because he tells us that he's so desperate that he hires himself out to one of the local citizens in this distant country where he's gone, and he's tending swine there. And to any Jew who's hearing this story from the beginning, they know right away what this means, that not only he's left his home and his family, but he's left the nation of Israel, and he's left his faith. Why? Because to Jews, pigs are unclean. So you'd never raise pigs if you were a Jew. You wouldn't have anything to do with them. So this is how low he's sunk. And we see that he's not only in material need, he doesn't have enough to eat, but he doesn't have God. He's left everything, including God, behind. But then he comes to his senses. And what does that mean? Well, he remembers how good his father is. Now, he doesn't think that it's possible that his father takes him into his home again. He doesn't think it's possible that he'll be reconciled with his father and be able to be his son again. But he knows his father is good, and that he thinks at least his father will welcome him as a servant, and at least he'll have enough food to eat. So then we're told that the son gets up and goes back to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the father was watching him, watching for him, waiting for him. And so when he spies him from a long distance off because he was watching for him, what does the father do? He doesn't wait for the son to come crawling back to him, groveling. Instead, he runs to his son. Now again, if we're a first century Jew listening to this, we would know that no elder who respected himself would ever do this. There was a saying at Jesus's time that an elder's robes do not rustle. And what that means is that elders no longer need to be in a hurry to do anything because they've reached a state in their life where people can come to them and they don't have to rush to anybody else. But instead of waiting for his son like a respectable person would have done, the father is so filled with compassion and love that he races to his son and embraces him. So who does this younger son symbolize? Well, he symbolizes this group of tax collectors and sinners that were drawing near to Jesus. And Jesus is telling the crowd how God feels towards this group who were living so far away from him, but who now are repenting of their sins and are leaving that past life behind and coming back to God. And Jesus is communicating that God's response to these sinners who are coming back to him is nothing but joy and welcome and celebration. And then we meet the second son, the older son. The older son was out in the field when all of this was happening, and he comes back and he hears the music and he asks one of the servants, "What the world is going on?" And then he learns that his younger brother has returned. And what was the older son's reaction to this? Anger, resentment, bitterness. Who does the older son represent? The scribes and the Pharisees. Remember, Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs. The older son did everything right. He was always obedient to his father. He stayed on the farm. He did what he was told. So on the exterior, everything was good with him. But what was on the interior? Not love, but instead bitterness and resentment towards his younger brother, but even towards his father as well. And that all comes up right here. So we see that even though the older son didn't abandon the father like the younger son did, his heart was far away from his father. Two groups of people, the tax collectors and the sinners and the scribes and Pharisees, what do they have in common? Well, they're all sinners. One group's sins are more obvious, perhaps, than the others. But the other group's sins are interior. They lack charity. What's the difference? So the similarity between the two groups, so the two brothers, is that they both left their father in some way. One physically and obviously, the other has left them in his heart. So now what's the difference? Well, the one brother comes back. He repents of what he's done. And the father's response to him is joy at the repentance. The older brother, though, we don't know what happens to him. Jesus leaves this intentionally open. Is he going to repent of his hardness of heart? We simply don't know. So Jesus is addressing this to the scribes and Pharisees because they're an open question too. These tax collectors and sinners who had lived a life away from the Lord are now repenting and coming back to God. Are the scribes and the Pharisees going to do the same? Remains an open question. So brothers and sisters, really good for us to hear this gospel today, because what do we have in common with the tax collectors, with the scribes and Pharisees, with the older son, with the younger son? We've all sinned, every one of us. And some of our sins have been more public, more obvious to others, more serious or grave, we could say. And some of our sins maybe are completely unknown to anybody except they're in our own hearts. Our hearts have become hardened, uncharitable. Maybe we're the one who is so focused on the sins of others that we don't acknowledge our own sin. But Jesus makes it so clear that it's not the one who sins and repents whose soul is in danger. It's the one who sins but won't acknowledge that sin, won't look at it, won't bring it back to God to be forgiven. And so where do we fall? Are we aware of our sinfulness? Are we, when we've committed serious or grave sin, do we bring that to the sacrament of reconciliation where God so desires to forgive it and does so freely forgive that, so happily forgive that? Or do we hold those sins inside and say, I don't need to be forgiven of that. It's not that serious. What's our attitude towards our serious or grave sins? What about even the less grave sins that we commit, the sins of the heart, our envy, our jealousy, our negative thoughts, our gossip, our mistreatment of others, especially those closest to us? Are we able to acknowledge them to the Lord? Yes, we can bring those to confession too, but also we have to acknowledge those to ourselves and to God. If one realizes, for instance, that he's spoken harshly with his wife, if he said unkind things to his wife, he has to acknowledge that to himself and to God and say to God, I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry I spoke that way to my wife. And then apologize to her too. If we've gossiped, spread rumors, we have to acknowledge that to ourselves and to God. Apologize to God for that. How does God receive someone when they repent of their sins? With joy and gratitude, like the father received his younger son with joy and gratitude. What we don't want to be, what puts our soul in danger, is when we don't acknowledge our sins. When we're so concerned with what other people are doing that we don't acknowledge our own sinfulness, our own need, our own incredible need for God's mercy, that's when our soul is really in danger. And that's what the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. So let's ask the Lord today never to let us be like the scribes and Pharisees who don't acknowledge their own sins, who think that other people are way worse than them, so why bother to think about their own? Let us all today, with sincere and repentant hearts, acknowledge to the Lord in our heart the many ways that we've fallen short towards him and towards others, the bad choices that we've made, trusting that when we come to the Lord with a sincere and repentant heart, he receives us with great joy and gratitude. Then we'll be like the prodigal son whom the father runs to welcomed back with joy into the Father's house.